Amen. Thank you, Lewis. Thank you for being here today. I do have a little bit of exciting news for you. I'm going to share it Wednesday at the meeting, though, for just a community that God laid on my heart when we came here to be out reaching this area. And really, I want you to be involved and come here how you can be involved. That's why we go through all this stuff, because we want you to be involved in what God has for you. Amen. My wife is at camp. Like you said, we're 2 weeks at camp, 450 kids at each camp. That's a lot of kids. That's a lot of problems. It's a lot of everything. But we do it because we still believe that there is a generation that needs to hear the good news. And I know a lot of people complain about the next generation and these kids coming up this and these kids, all this stuff. But I'm telling you something, God loves them. And God has a plan for them. And so it's pretty cool. But next year, you might get to go to camp. I might recruit you to go to camp for a week. How would you like that? And be a counselor in a dorm with 14 boys that need you. I'll say that. Listen, we're continuing on in our series of the Holy Spirit, of the promise of God. The promise of God. How many? And I say this every week when we're going through this. How many of you want to receive everything God has for you? That is my prayer for your life, is that you receive everything God has for you. And remember, in every week I've talked about this, and I'm going to mention it again. The enemy, the one thing that happens is the enemy wants us to believe that it's not for us. That what God has for us is really not for us. That's why we talked about the beginning. Our circumstances will sometimes dictate what we think. And the enemy, if he can just get us to not believe, because Jesus said, all this you can have if you will only believe. Believe. We talk about John 14. If you just believe. How many of you go through things in life sometimes, and boy, you just don't know what you believe? Oh, I mean, you know, we waver a little bit. That's the human side of us. There's nobody that's perfect all the time. And I get it. We go through things. But today we're getting to the place. We're getting to the last conversation. I mean, John chapter 20. The last conversation Jesus had with his disciples regarding the promise of the Holy Spirit. This is 3 weeks in a row. We're leading up to the place where the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and filled the believer. But this is the last time that Jesus has this transaction, if you will, with his disciples. John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that in a minute. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Back up in verse number 19, I want you to understand when this took place. This is the same day. In other words, this was the same day that Mary and those, it was Easter Sunday is when it was, they came to the tomb and Jesus was gone. Okay, so later that evening, same day, later in the evening, is when Jesus appears to his disciples. And listen to what it says. It says that they were shut up in a house. They were shut up with the door shut, and they were assembled together for fear of the Jews. Okay, now let me explain this to you. What happened was, think about it like this. Jesus, these people, only one that wasn't here with them at this time is Thomas. We'll talk about him in a minute. But Jesus was here. those people that fought, they had been with him in his ministry. They saw him do all the signs. They listened to everything he said. He told them all this stuff was going to happen. They were having a hard time believing it. How many of us have a hard time believing with some of the stuff Jesus said? Hello? Some of it just would be hard to understand. He kept telling them, I'm going to go away. I'm going back to the Father. You'll see me no more. This temple will be torn down. You know, in 3 days it'll rise up. He was saying all this stuff. And, I mean, they were human. They're like, what is he saying? I don't even get it. But here's the deal. At this moment, their leader, their teacher, the one they loved, had now been arrested, crucified. Not only was he crucified, put in a tomb, but when they went to see him, he was what? Gone. That's kind of crazy. That's a little crazy. And so now, these group of people are afraid, and they lock themselves in this room. They assemble together, shut the door for fear of the Jews. Now, why were they afraid of the Jews? Because think about it. If it just happened to Jesus, who might they be after next? Us. And here's what I want you to catch. When Jesus, all of a sudden, he came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. Now before we go any further, I want to stop right here and help you this morning. Because I think that we, as the disciples of Christ, the body of Christ, we need to understand that in the midst of the most chaotic moment of your life, the midst of the craziness of your life, Jesus will still step in and say, listen, you need to receive my peace. And I will guarantee you there's people sitting in this room this morning and you are going through possibly the worst thing you've ever experienced in your life. If you were to ask these disciples, they may have pointed to this moment as one of the worst moments of our life. He's gone. We don't understand. We're afraid for our life. We're locking ourselves in the room. And Jesus showed up and said, listen, peace, be still. Let me help you this morning. You need peace in your life. I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm going to tell you this. God does not expect you to fight what you're fighting all by yourself. And one of the biggest things we fall into as humans is we put up our dukes. Put your dukes up. Anybody ever heard that saying before? My kids do it to each other all the time. And what we do, and listen to me, be very careful, we start to fight a battle that God wants to fight for us. And we lash out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We get in the middle of a situation, it's chaotic, and we think we're going to fix it. And the moment we try to fix it, guess what we do? We start to make it worse. Let me help you this morning. God knows right what you're going through. And when you and I, through the power of the Holy Spirit, learn to master the art of stepping back and doing nothing, you and I don't have to say everything that comes to our mind. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I think there's a scripture that says even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth. I tell my kids this all the time. My kids usually get in double trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They get in trouble for what they did, and then they get in trouble for what they said after it. I said, man, you would have been better off if you'd have just kept your mouth closed at least. Of course, my kids don't understand that yet. Problem is, some of us don't understand it either as we serve God. And we in life, and let me tell you something, I know some people in this room, you're going through some serious stuff right now, and the natural reaction is to fix it on our own. But let me help you this morning and tell you, don't do anything. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Stand still in the midst of your storm and let Jesus speak peace to it. I'm telling you, we will cause more damage when we get involved in it if we would have just left it alone. How many of you are going through something this morning? How many are you going through a fight in your life? I would say that's probably everybody in this room right now. And I'm going to give you some advice again. Peace, be still. Receive the peace of God. The interesting thing about this story, in the midst of the craziness that these disciples were going through, of all the things, Jesus showed up right in the middle of it. And let me tell you something. Jesus will show up right in the middle of your situation if you will allow him to. But if you take it upon yourself to fix everything, how many of you are like that? You're a fixer. You're going to fix it. You're going to tell people how to fix it. You're going to tell people what's wrong with them. All the stuff we do, right? Now, hold on. If we would just take a step back and say, Jesus, you show up in the midst of this chaos. See, Jesus in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. He arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said what? Peace. Be still. The same Jesus that spoke to the storm spoke to the disciples in the same exact language. The same thing that he would say to you today if he was to step into your house and see everything that's going on in your life, he would say this, peace. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit if you don't have peace in your life. The Holy Spirit is not going to fill a vessel that's chaotic and crazy. You ever been around Pentecostal people long enough, you'll know what that looks like. Seriously. I ain't going to say nothing else. You're filled, but you're crazy. And everybody knows it. You got a list. No, I don't have a list. I'm just kidding. Jesus would say, peace. Be still. In the midst of our life, what you're going through. Listen, he knows exactly what you're going through right now. So I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but I'm telling you, if you will stop, God will fix it. He will fix it his way, not your way. My way would sound like this. Drop a bomb and just blow them off the face of the earth so I don't have to deal with them anymore. You know what I'm saying? Anybody ever had that little thing happen before? But God would say, hold on a minute. If you would wait a moment, I'm fixing to work this out. I'm fixing to work. And the reason he said that to these disciples is this, because he was fixing to do the greatest work in their life they had yet seen. They were fixing to receive the Holy Spirit. They were fixing to be commissioned to go out and spread the good news. They weren't quite ready. That's why Jesus said, look, I know it's crazy. That would be crazy. The man that you just watched die, crucified, you watched him put in a tomb, and you go back to the grave 3 days later and he's gone. Now what would you do? Not only was he gone, but then he shows up in the room where you're standing. And if you told somebody that happened to you, they'd lock you up and put you in a straitjacket and assign you a hospital room somewhere. Would they not? I have sympathy for what these people were going through. It was crazy. But what did Jesus say to them? He told them all this stuff was going to happen. We've talked about it for 2 weeks. He said, prepare yourself for what I'm fixing to do because it's imperative that I what? I must leave. So when I leave, then the what? The Holy Spirit can come. So in the midst of this craziness, he says this, peace, be still. Let me say it one more time. Whatever you got going on in your life today, I'm going to speak a word to you, and it's this. Peace. Be still. Whatever you're facing, listen to me, church, it's not going to destroy you. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to ruin your life. It's not going to ruin your family. Peace. Be still. Now, in order for us to experience all this peace, we're going to have to take a step back and take our hands off of it and quit telling our situation everything we what? Everything on our mind. How many of you got that great ability to say what's on your mind? That gift. I call it a short fuse and a long tongue. The whole world knows you got it. You know what I'm saying? You'd be going off on somebody. We're all like, what just happened here? Jesus said, blessed are the what? Peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers are called the children of God. I'm just trying to help somebody this morning. In the midst of the chaos, he says, peace, be with you. Verse number 20. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad they saw the Lord. In other words, when he first showed up, they didn't even understand who it was. And I'm going to tell you something. If you and I aren't careful, God will try to show up in our situation and we won't even recognize he's with us. We will not even recognize him with us because we keep trying to do it on our own. You understand what I'm saying? I know how this needs to play out. If he would just do this and I'd be, you know, la, la, la. And we have to step back and close our mouth and say, God, show up. Where are you? And I'm going to tell you how you know when the Lord arrives on the scene, because you have peace. You have peace. You don't have to spit. I'm telling you, how many of you need that peace over something right now? You're trying to figure it out, man, and the enemy's lying to you and telling you this is it. This is the big one. I'm telling you, it's not. A disciple, a follower of God. Jesus is going to show up for you every time. Stand and see the salvation of our God. But he does help them and say, look, see these holes? You see this piercing in me? It is. I am who I say I am. It is me. And they were glad. In Luke's account, Jesus says to them, I'm showing you this because I just fulfilled all prophecy. In which he did. We know that. He's with them. He's with you. I'm going to skip down to verse 29. They had to see him to believe it. You ever met somebody in your life that was just a total mess? And somebody told you, hey, they changed their life and they're better now? And what would you have to say after that? I'd have to see it to believe it. I mean, that's normal, right? You know people like that. Like if somebody told me my kid made straight A's, I'd say, I'd have to see it to believe it. I'm not taking you at your word. I know him too well. And that's what the disciples said, but listen to what he tells Thomas. Thomas wasn't here. We may get into it in a little bit. Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas walked up to Jesus right after this and said, I'm not going to believe it's you until I put my finger in the hole. That's a little weird. But listen to how Jesus replied to him. He said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Next part. Blessed are those who what? Have not seen yet believe. Well, guess who he's referring to? That's us. We don't get the luxury to see him. But he said, blessed are those who don't see me yet still believe. This is the same message that he told them way back in John chapter 14. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you want the stuff for your life, you must believe. It's imperative that you believe. The reason he kept talking about believing and believing and believing is because I know the enemy wants you to stop believing. The enemy will try every trick in the book just to make you think God's promises are not for you. Your situation will tell you what you believe. How many of you have ever gone through a rough time in your life? How many of you going through a rough time right now? How many of you ever got a bad report from a doctor? How many ever have a trouble in your marriage or finances? You'll look at it and you'll begin to believe. Maybe, I'm here to tell you, you got to believe no matter what. What if Thomas hadn't seen him? Maybe he would have never believed. Jesus said, we're blessed because we believe. We believe. Verse 21. So Jesus said to them again. Now, I'm not trying to make more of this than what this is, but let me tell you, friend, Jesus only said three things to these people. Two of them were the same thing. Should that tell us something? Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Now, I'm gonna tell you, I think he's talking about something else right here. He says, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. The first time when he walked into the room, it's because they were going nuts in their head. I mean, what they had just been through with the whole going to the tomb, they saw him die. This was all right in the same time period, and they're like, what is going on here? Jesus said, look, it's me, peace. Don't worry about that. That was to fulfill Scripture. I tried to tell you that was going to happen. Now, he says, you're going to need this piece right here. Why? Because I'm going to my Father, but now I'm going to send you. You with me? This is where a lot of people disconnect in the church right here. Just to be honest with you. We want to receive from God. I want everything God has for me. I want God to bless my life. I want to come in here and sing. I want the temperature right in the sanctuary when I come in. I want you to smile at me and tell me everything's okay. But this is the moment right here. He says going to separate the, this is the moment. Now I'm going to what? Send you. Now I'm sending you. Now I'm sending you. Now it's your turn to do everything you saw me do. Jesus said it like this. He said, greater works will they do in my name. They'll do greater works than they saw me do. Can you imagine? Because I now send you. And here's what I want to tell you. A lot of the stuff we're fighting, a lot of the stuff we're fighting in our life is because we've yet to walk out the great commission God put on our life. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's not real complicated. It's not real complicated. That does not mean that you have to get a backpack, give away your house, and fly to India, and walk across the mountains, and tell people about Jesus, and die on the side of a cliff somewhere. If God calls you to that, God bless you. God will call people to that, trust me. But this does mean this, you can be a witness where you're at. And a lot of times we can be a witness by what we say, or better yet, by what we don't say. Hello? You and I will destroy our witness more times than not by our mouth than anything we ever do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever been in a situation before where you said something, and after it was over you said, ooh, I wish I hadn't said that. Or am I the only one? Usually my wife tells me before I think it myself, if you know what I'm saying. She'd be like, you shouldn't have said that. Then it takes me a moment to register. I was like, what was wrong with that? Then I say, oh, man, probably shouldn't have said that. But here's what he says. Listen, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we're getting there next week to Acts chapter 1. He said, but you shall receive power. We're going to talk about that. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. At the core, the very core of what we've been talking about, the very thing the Holy Spirit empowers us to do is be a witness. That is what the Holy Spirit is for us to be a witness. More than anything else, I believe, it's to be a witness. It's to be a witness. Now, what does your witness look like? I would ask you to think about that for a moment. What does our witness look like? Let's think about it like this for a minute. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Our witness, at the very least, should look like this. Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the... If I don't have the fruit of the Spirit exemplified in my life... We've been talking on Wednesday nights about the gifts of the Spirit. If I'm not living by the fruit of the Spirit, do you think God's going to give me the gift of the Spirit? Does it look weird to you when you see someone who has a gift of the Spirit but no fruit of the Spirit? They lose me every time, just so you know. You'd be like speaking in tongues over here and talking about somebody over there. Are y'all with me? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about us being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be a witness. To be a witness. Man, some of you are in a situation right now, your witness is going to play out through your patience and long-suffering. Because you're in a hard place. How many of you are in a hard place this morning? How many of you are not in a hard place this morning? You've been in one before. And you know what I'm talking about. And if you're not in one today, you know you could be in one tomorrow. Who's with me? But that's why he said a fruit of the Spirit to be my witness is that you know how to long suffer. You know how to keep it together when everybody else loses it. You know how to walk in peace that I give you. See, you and I don't know peace until we know trials. You understand what I'm saying? I heard a minister say one time, you don't know joy until you've long suffered. Then I thought about that. I thought, I think joy comes when everything goes my way. Who's with me? That seemed like that would work. You know, give me everything I want the way I want it. I'll be a pretty happy guy. That's not the way God works, is it? Because this is what he told him. He said, peace to you. Listen how he worded it. He said, peace to you. Now I'm going to send you. In other words, Jesus knew. Read the story about what happened to these guys in this room. Look what happened to them. You'll understand why Jesus, all he said to them is, you need peace for this journey I'm fixing to send you on. My friends, you and I need peace on the journey he's sending us on. We need our life to exemplify peace. I do not need to get moved and shaken by every little flat tire or light bill that I can't pay. Who's with me? That's not what he was talking about. Now, I understand those things happen and we always have this stuff, but the peace that comes from God surpasses all understanding. That no matter what happens to me, I can live in peace. You can live in peace. Who's with me? He said, I'm going to now commission you and I'm sending you. Guess what? This was the birth of the church as we know it today. Jesus looked at them. He would say to us today, you're the one. You are the, my message that you read about that's preached, my message is on your back now. Now, that, like I said, this is a lot of the places where people draw the line in their Christian journey. And they, you know, we want God to do for us, and we want God to give us, and we want God to heal us, and God to do all this stuff. But he says, that comes when you do this. When you are my disciples, when you are my witnesses. Where? He named the places. And he was talking about the area surrounding them. And that's what Lewis was talking about a minute ago. Where are we at? August the 18th. Man, we got a spot to go and present the gospel to a community. Man, I want you to be here Wednesday night at 6:15 so I can give you the information. I'm so excited about how we got this place to go witness to people. And let me tell you, witnessing to people, in my opinion, is not just taking a megaphone and blasting people in the face with it. You know what I'm saying? And maybe it is in some places, but that's not really what I got in mind here. I got in mind loving people, letting people know we care. Letting people know you can have a good time and still love Jesus. And letting people know that there's a lighthouse in this community. If you got a need in your life, you should feel welcome walking through that door. I don't care what you got going on in your life. We're here for you. That's a witness. How many witnesses do we have in here this morning? How many of you can witness, are a witness to what God's done in your life? Do you understand there's a reason why you went through what you went through? There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through right now. There's a reason why life has been hard on you and you can't understand why. I'm going to tell you why. Because God's going to bring somebody in your life one day and you're going to have to sit down and have a conversation with them. And you're going to say, yeah, I know it was messy. I know it was ugly. But God. And if God did it for me, he'll surely do it for a witness. A witness. Here he goes. He said, peace to you, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you the commission, the great commission. Go into all the world and make what? Disciples of all nations. Here we go. It's time to go. Verse 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Today you can receive the Holy Spirit. Today, you need God to breathe into your life again. The same word right here, breathe, this word right here, you translate it, take some time, do your little Bible study. That word breathe right there is the same word breathe that's in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Pull it up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. That's the same word. Here's what he did. Jesus breathed life into some people that were now going to be the New Testament church. And if I could tell you one thing that we need God to do today, it's a fresh breath through this church. It's not just this church. Let me back up. But God would need to breathe a fresh breath into some things into your life. Because when God breathes into it, it comes alive again. How many of you got some dead stuff in your life today? Some things that have died inside of you, I would say God wants to breathe back into you so things can come back alive again. A marriage? Finances? How many of you got a dead attitude? Don't raise your hand because I don't want to see it, but whatever. I really don't need to know all that stuff. I'm just here to tell you God will fix it. How about a dead report? How about a vision or a dream that God gave you a long time ago and you think it's too far gone? Anybody know what I'm talking about? God put something in somebody's heart and they say, you know what, too much has happened, too much time has passed, I'll never have that, it's not for me, I'm too old, I'm too good looking, or I'm too ugly, I don't know what you think, but I'm just telling you, it is a lie. God can breathe life back into that situation. I believe he can still breathe life into situations today. I know he can. I've seen him do it. And I believe there's people sitting in this room this morning, you need a fresh breath from God for something to come back alive inside of you. That's what he did to the disciples. The same breath that rose man out of the dust, he said, I'm going to breathe this breath into you and establish the church, the mission sending agency, so you can go tell the world about me. If we're going to do what God's called us to do at Life Point Church, let me tell you something, we do need a fresh breath of God here. Because we're fixing to enter a mission field called Broward County. How many of you have driven up and down these highways out here? You don't even have to get out of your car to see what kind of issues are on these streets out here. Hello? Some of those issues will come knocking on your car window if you stay at a red light long enough. And guess who God put on the back of people to help these people and to reach them? His disciples and his church. Who's with me this morning? Who's ready to be a witness? Who's ready to receive the Holy Spirit of God? Let me tell you something. God is going to step into your life and breathe new life inside of you. I believe that this morning. I believe it this morning. This message is for somebody who said, I cannot keep going the way I'm going in my life. How many of you have said that before? I've been there before, trust me. There may be people in here right now and you say, I cannot keep going the way things are going. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. Receive the Holy Spirit today. Let the breath of God breathe into your life and revive you. Verse 23. I'm going to get ready to close here. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And this is what I believe Jesus was doing when he said that. He was giving us, the disciples, the believer, the authority to deal with people's sin. Remember when Jesus was in that house? And those guys, they picked up the guy who was on the mat and they were trying to get him inside and he couldn't get in the house and he chopped a hole in the roof and they let the man down. When the man was coming down, the Bible says Jesus looked up in the room and pointed to the man and said, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And then that's when the Bible says the people in the house got mad and started hollering, oh, you blaspheme, only God alone can forgive sins. Only God alone can forgive sins. And Jesus replied to him, he said, so that you know that the Son of Man has authority, I'm going to tell the man to get up and walk. But if I have the authority to tell him to get up and walk, I also have the authority to forgive his sins. In other words, what he's saying here, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, I'll show you how this was empowered through a disciple. Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In other words, Jesus gave them authority with the Holy Spirit. He said this, "Anytime you encounter someone, anywhere you go, that has sin in their life, you can tell them I'm the way to get it done." In other words, someone can be removed of their sins right here, out there at Walmart parking lot. They can be removed of their sins at the red light. It don't matter, wherever a disciple goes, all we say is in the name of Jesus, you can confess your sins right here and it can be gone forever. See, there's churches that believe that you have to go inside and lock yourself in a little thing and tell them, you know, all the stuff that people believe is what I'm telling you, what the Word of God says. As a disciple, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we have that ability. I want to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And we're going to take a moment. We're going to take just a few moments here. See, I really have a vision for what God's going to use this church for, what God's going to use us for. Who's with me? Who's with me today? Come on now. I'm with you. But here's where I want to start today. Before we ever walk out of the doors of this church, I want to make sure everything in your life, God is dealing with it. It might be a sin. I don't know. Whatever. If you're human, you'll deal with sin, just so you know. It might be something going on in your family. It might be something going on so deep inside of you, nobody knows about it. But here's what I would say is God would want to breathe life into you today. The breath of God would want to blow into your life and say, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive my peace in the midst of this storm. Sign me up. That's what I need for my life right there. I need the peace of God. I need the life-giving breath of God to blow into my life again. I need to receive the Holy Spirit." This is not a one-time prayer. Boy, this is people who walk through life, who go through struggles, who go through situations, who continually come back to a loving Father and say, "Today, I just need you to breathe life into me. I need the Holy Spirit." And I'm telling you, church, that is for you right now, today. I do not want you to leave this place wounded, defeated, less than what God has for you. Receive the Holy Spirit today. Amen. I'm going to open this. I'm going to take this time. And it's all good. Trust me. I'm going to let the worship team have it. And if you want to come forward and believe God for that breath of life to blow inside of you, I'm right here with you. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, I'm right here with you. I'm praying the same thing over my life. And also, you may want to say, "Lord, forgive me of my sins today." I'm right here with you. We have a commission by the Holy Spirit, who's ready to walk in. Amen. Lord, we thank you this morning that even in the midst of our biggest storm, you can step in, speak to that, and we can receive your peace, and we can receive the breath of God that brings new life inside of us, and we can receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, be with us as we're now sent out to carry out this great commission. Lord, we thank you. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you this morning. Thank you so much for being here.